Hey, today is Grandparents' Day. Any grandparents in the house?
Yeah.
All right. Well, grandparents, you already know this, but we wouldn't be here without you.
That's right.
So thanks for being there for us, and I wanted you to know today you're loved. So give yourself a round of applause. And if those kids and grandkids aren't with you today, I'm sure and right now in your mind you're going there. And that's awesome to be with them, and that's great. Praise the Lord. So happy Grandparents' Day to all your grandparents. Let's see here. We're going to show a video, another video right now. This is the return, a prayer, really it's a prayer movement, and we're going to be engaging in prayer later on this month, on September 26th, that's a Saturday. Go ahead and play that video.
This is Jonathan Gong. We are standing at a critical moment in American and world history. A moment that can seal the future for calamity or redemption. We have driven God out of our culture, and we war against his ways. If we don't return to God, America's light will go out. The answer is revival, but we only have a limited window of time. So this is the announcing of the return, the National and Global Day of Prayer and Repentance, Saturday, September 26, 2020, 40 days from the election, and on the 400th anniversary of the sailing of the Mayflower and America's dedication to God. Join me for a pivotal, sacred, and prophetic gathering on the National Mall, Washington, D.C. If you can't make it there, the return will be all over America. Gather in your states, your churches, your homes to pray for repentance, return, revival, and restoration. On the promise, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. The return is for all of God's people, every denomination. And on board is everybody from Pat Robertson to Dr. Dobson, from Billy Graham's daughter, Anne Graham Lotz, to Martin Luther King's niece, Alveda King, and many, many more. Surrounding the day of return will be the 10 ancient days of prayer and repentance, beginning with the Feast of Trumpets to Yom Kippur, September 18th to September 28th, to intensify our prayers and intercession for revival. And if you're outside America, join us on that day in your nation to pray not only for America, but for your nation, and bring the return to your land. The return, September 26, 2020. Plan for it now. Spread the word in this video and go to thereturnwebsite.org. That's thereturnwebsite.org. The return begins now as you, me, and all of God's people not only pray for revival, but begin living in revival. It is time to seek the Lord. It's time to return.
So I want him to share that. Through that video, you know, we're at a critical point in our nation, in our history, and before I even knew who was involved in it, my heart just jumped at the opportunity for the church to join together as a whole and pray. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to be doing that on September 26th. There's also going to be the 10 days he mentioned, September 18th through the 28th, 10 days of prayer. I'm going to work on some to see if I can send something out to folks so they give kind of a prayer point each day of that. But that Saturday is going to be the focus of prayer, where we're going to seek the face of God. And, you know, I believe that the church, that would be you and me, that we have to cry out to God on behalf of our people and on behalf of our nation. Jesus said, you know, that his house must be a house of prayer for the nations. And we're going to join together with hundreds and maybe thousands or maybe even hundreds of thousands of other believers around the land to engage in prayer and seek the face of God, asking him to forgive us as a people, and asking him to send revival. And so, once you join us on that day, we're going to jump into the message this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Revelation chapter 22. The last chapter of the Bible. here, some pages turning. Revelation chapter 22. We're going to start in verse 7, then we're going to skip a few verses. And you can keep up with me there. Jesus is speaking here. It's why it's in red letters. And he says, look, I'm coming soon. Blessed are those who obey the words of prophecy written in this book. Don't know whether you've read the book of Revelation or not.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've read any other parts of the scriptures or not. Okay. Revelation is just packed full of really intense things. And my goal today is not to go through all of those. My goal today is to help us with where we are as a nation, where we are as a people, what's going on in our nation with protests, with riots, with coronavirus. Kind of the goal with this is to help us to refocus. Okay? Jesus said, I'm coming soon. So, not that there are not other things in life that we can be involved in, but let's certainly, most definitely be involved in the life that's to come. Let's plan today for that day. And Jesus reminds us, hey guys, I'm going to be coming back. I'm going to be coming again. If you wanted to write this down, Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, he also says, so you too must keep watch, for you don't know what day your Lord is coming. You must also be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. And then again, a few chapters earlier in Revelation, in chapter 16, he says, look, I will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Blessed are all who are watching for me, who keep their clothing ready, so they will not have to walk around naked and ashamed.
Amen.
Here Jesus says, look, I'm coming soon. That soon seems like it's incorrect, doesn't it? But I don't know that it is. You all know that to the Lord, a day is, 1,000 years is like a day.
That's right.
God's concept of time is different than ours.
Yes.
But he's never late. I promise you, he's never late. Look at the next line here in verse 7. He says, blessed are those. Doesn't that sound a lot like the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5? You know, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will see God, and so on. This one is, there are, matter of fact, there's 7 in the book of Revelation. And this is the 6th one right here. I read a previous one in chapter 16. He says, blessed are those who obey the words of prophecy written in this book. Blessed are those who keep these words, who observe these words, or who obey these words. I ask you this morning, are you obeying Christ? Are you obeying Jesus in your life today? Are you living in such a way that would honor him? Again, look, I'm coming soon. We're going to skip down to verse 12, and he says the same thing right here, at least in the first part of this statement. Again, in red letters, Jesus speaking, look, I am coming soon. How many times is that he said? In this particular chapter, this will be the second time. Look, I'm coming soon. Check this out. I love it. Bringing my reward with me to repay all people according to their deeds. Starts out just like verse 7 did. And then he changes it. Says, hey, I'm coming soon. I'm going to bring my reward based on what you've done, whether it's good or bad. You know, I think he talks about this reward. And this reward clearly is eternity, eternal life, right? That reward would be eternal life. But really the biggest blessing, the biggest reward of eternal life is God.
Yeah.
It's Him. It's, you know, He's what makes heaven heaven. A matter of fact, we don't even need the sun that's shining today. I see it shining through the window. In heaven, we're not even going to need that sun. S-U-N, because we have the Son, S-O-N, and He is, because of His purity, His He's going to radiate His brilliance and His light and His glory. We won't need that sun, S-U-N. Because He's going to be shining so much, shining so bright. Matter of fact, there's not going to be any night there. He's going to be shining all the time. Hallelujah. But as I was studying for this, this scripture came to me in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 15. Because I believe that, I dare to believe that the best part of the reward is that it's God in His presence. And then Genesis 15 verse 1. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward.
Amen.
God is our reward. And I believe that we can even begin to experience that here on earth by living for Him, by knowing Him, by spending time with Him, by seeking Him. Because I believe that He wants to be found by those who will seek Him.
Yes.
So what are you seeking? He's bringing His reward. Jesus, He is our reward. We cannot get to heaven, church, because of good works.
That's right.
Or good looks.
Yeah.
Jesus' work on the cross is the only ticket for us to gain access into heaven. Luke chapter 13, verse 24 says, I hope you're keeping notes because I got lots of scriptures that you won't be able to, they're not on the screen, you won't be able to keep up if you don't write them down. Luke chapter 13, verse 24. Work hard to enter the narrow door. A few of the things, a few of the ways that Jesus is, of what Jesus is to us, He is the narrow door to God's kingdom. For many will try to enter but will fail. Again, we can't enter by any other door except the right door, and that's Jesus. Larry mentioned a while ago, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And didn't He say that?
Yes.
Of course He did. John chapter 10. John chapter 10 verse 7. So He explained to them, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures.
Yeah.
Oh, how good is that heavenly pasture going to be?
Yeah.
Going to be incredible, isn't it? It's exciting. Church, let's begin to get excited about heaven.
Yeah.
Let's begin to get excited that Jesus is coming instead of afraid. The church shouldn't be afraid that Jesus is coming. In fact, we should be celebrating that, looking forward to it. Kind of like Christmas morning when you're a child. Oh, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
We are only able to get to heaven if we come through the proper way. Jesus, they'd be in that gate or that door. That only way. The one who believes and follows Jesus should and will do good works that will honor the Master. We should do good works, but those good works will never, ever get us into heaven.
That's right.
It's only the blood of Jesus. You see, because there was a problem. Man had a problem, and it's called sin. God sent His Son Jesus to remedy the problem, to fix it, to repair the damaged relationship between man and God the Father. And He did it so well. He's our mediator. He's our high priest, as Hebrews tells us. Verse 13, Jesus continues, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Alpha and Omega, this is a simple statement saying that God says, again, I'm the first and the last. These are the first and last letter of the Greek alphabet. Alpha and Omega. I'm the first and the last, the beginning and the end. You know, Colossians chapter 1 tells us that God created everything through Jesus Christ. It's incredible. Go check it out. Colossians chapter 1 is a wonderful chapter of Scripture. We can think of it this way. God created time, and He will be there when time is no more, referring to the beginning and the end. God started it all. Oh, and He's going to be there long after it's all done with. All after we stop looking at our watches. I forgot mine this morning. I had to ask my sweetheart to bring it to me. But there's going to be one day where, hey, what time is it? Who cares? We're just worshiping Jesus for eternity. And I'm sure there's going to be other responsibilities for us to do any longer. So even time will end there, because God is the beginning and the end. And He is a far transcendent above time and above anything else and above us. Verse 14. Excuse me. Going through these scriptures, we're gonna try to land in verse 20. Verse 14, though, he says, "Blessed are those." Here's that seventh beatitude in the book of Revelation. "Blessed are those who wash their robes. They will be permitted to enter through the gates of the city and eat the fruit from the tree of life." He says, "Blessed are those who wash their robes." I don't wear a robe. I don't know whether you wear a robe or not. I mean, I wear clothes, as you well know. But here he's referring to that spiritual person. And he's saying, hey, blessed are those who have understood that without the blood of Christ, you're filthy and dirty. And blessed are those who have washed their robes. And really, it's been without said, not being said, but he's talking about being washed in the blood of the Lamb. We've washed our robes in the blood of the Lamb. And here he goes on to mention, John writes, they will be permitted. Those who wash their robes in that precious blood, those who realize their need for a Savior, and who will humbly bow their hearts and lives to Him, they will be permitted. They'll be permitted to enter through the gate of the city. You won't need to try to find another way in. The gate will be open to you. And there's all kinds of jokes about, yeah, when you get to the pearly gate, St. Peter, I don't even know that he's there. I'm not sure where that comes from. But this one, there's going to be an angel at the gate, Revelation tells us. And there's going to be multiple gates of the city. We won't have to try to dig under the wall, climb over, or go through a window. We won't have to do any of that, because we're those who are found in Christ, those who have washed their robes, been washed in the blood of Jesus, will be able to go and enter through the gate. It's kind of like, have you ever gone somewhere and you needed a key card to get in?
Yeah.
What if you didn't have one? Then you're not getting in. Or you have to go real quick after somebody else goes in who has a key card. That doesn't happen in heaven.
No.
That's not going to happen there. It's going to be, oh, hey, I see that you've been washed. Come on in.
Yeah.
Come on in. What a thought, huh?
Yeah.
They will be permitted to enter through the city, the gates of the city. And check this out. Remember the tree of life all the way back in Genesis?
Yeah.
In the Garden of Eden? There was two trees.
Yeah.
God told Adam and Eve not to eat of, right? You can eat all these other trees, all the fruit of these other trees, but you two need to leave these two trees alone. The tree of life? What was the other one? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Apparently the tree of knowledge of good and evil looked a little bit better than the fruit on the tree of life. See, because Eve chose to eat that one. Yeah, Satan tempted, of course. But here in heaven, as John writes, then they'll be permitted to eat of the fruit of the tree of life. Now, elsewhere in Revelation tells us that this tree, that there's two of these trees, and they're going to bear fruit each month of the year. They're going to bear fruit continually throughout the year for us to eat. It's going to be interesting, huh? Because then we'll never die. That was why the Father kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden. He banished them from the garden because he thought, you know what? Now that they're sinful, they have. But there's still the tree of life. They could eat that one forever. So he banished them. And of course, he already had a plan in process. And that plan was to send his son Jesus. Let's see here. Verse 15. Outside the city are the dogs, the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idol worshippers, and all who love to live a lie. Now, this outside the city is not exactly like right outside the wall. It's saying outside the city, meaning those who aren't able to come in, those who haven't been washed, those who have lived in immoral lives, those who have not honored the Lord with the way that they live. And of course, sorcerers, that'd be witchcraft, sexually immoral, those who just do whatever they want to do. Murderers, obviously that's the person who allows hate to rule their life. Idol worshippers, worshiping someone or something other than God. And this last part is interesting to me. And all who love to live a lie. You know what I kind of classify that as anybody who doesn't recognize Jesus as Lord and living a lie. Because a lot of people have heard the message. Not everybody yet. That's the church's job. But a lot of people have heard the message of the good news, of the gospel, and have chosen to live a lie. And they have not acknowledged it as the truth. And instead have chosen to live a lie. In the previous chapter, Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, the Lord says, "But cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, and all liars, their fate." And again, this is, I'm sharing this one with you because it's not just outside the city. Okay? All their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. The emphasis here is that sinners, nor anything evil, will be permitted to enter into God's presence, nor harm his faithful ones. You know, the scripture tells us that in heaven there will be no more crying. There will be no more sickness. There will be no more death. Aren't you thankful for that?
Amen.
So this morning again, let's refocus. Let's refocus. And anybody ever use binoculars? You know, you put them up and you're like, oh man, whoever had them before, their eyes were wider. Or their sight, their view was just different. So you have to both adjust here and adjust the little doodad on top and spin that thing so you can get a good sight, right? And you can see clearly through it. Otherwise, it's blurry or doubled, and you can't see that. So listen, there's a lot of things going on in life today. Church, let's focus again that Jesus is coming. Let's refocus. Let's make sure that it's clear in our hearts and in our minds that our eyes are fixed upon Him. And let's look toward Him, because He is going to be the one to sustain us. He has prepared a place for us. Isn't that what Jesus told us? I go to prepare a place for you. Matter of fact, hell was not made for man. That was made for his fallen angels and Lucifer. Verse 16, Jesus again speaking. He says, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel." Interesting. I've sent my angel to give you this message for the churches. I am both the source of David and the heir to his throne. I am the bright morning star. So Jesus sent his angel, sent an angel for and to represent him, for he is Lord even of angels. And in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "This is a revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants that the events that must soon take place. He sent an angel to present this revelation to his servant John." Interesting. Okay, so, of course, Jesus here says, "I am both the source of David and the heir to his throne." Isn't that so interesting? I'm both the source of David and the heir to his throne. He's the source of David because Jesus is God. He promised David that, and made a covenant with David that he would always have someone on his throne. And then Jesus was the fulfillment of that when he was born of Mary, by the virgin birth, was born of Mary and came to live on this earth, left his glory in heaven and came to live down here like us. And he was then a descendant of King David. And that's why Jesus is able to say, I'm both the source of David and the heir to his throne. And by the way, of which that throne he will never be removed.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And then here we go. I am the bright morning star. Jesus is the light of salvation and likely fulfillment of Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, where it says, I see him, but not here and now. I perceive him, but far in the distant future. A star will arise from Jacob. A scepter will emerge from Israel. It will crush the heads of Moab's people, crackling the skulls of the people of Sheth. The morning star is the first star to be seen in the darkness before the dawn. So Jesus is the hope of all who trust in him, even while living in a dark world, trusting that his eternal kingdom will certainly rise. Jesus is that bright and morning star. He is the one that we can look at. He's that constant. We can know that he is coming back because he said he would. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 17. Check this part out. Verse 17 says, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Is that what we're saying? As the church, as part of the bride? Notice it doesn't say wife, it says bride. Because there's still going to be that union. That coming together that hasn't taken place yet. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. The Holy Spirit in the believer, the Holy Spirit in the church says, come. Come, let anyone who hears this say, come. Let anyone who is thirsty come. Look at this open invitation that is from the Spirit and even the Bride, the church. Let anyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who desires drink freely from the water of life. The Lord is saying, hey, and the church, the Spirit is saying, anyone who wants to come can still come. But there's going to be a time when it's all over with. So church, let us be engaged. Let us be involved in reaching the lost. Let us be involved in sharing the gospel. Let us be involved in reaching people for Christ. Because there is an eternity at stake. But anyone who desires, drink freely from the water of life. It doesn't cost anything. It's all been paid for by God's grace. And Jesus offered his blood. Amen. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Come back to God. Come to the Lord. He offers salvation freely. Verse 18. As a matter of fact, before we move on to that, we're going to give it a moment before we jump into the rest of it. I'm going to give some time at the end. I'm going to ask my wife to come in a little bit to play. And I'm just going to give us some time because I feel like we need to begin to seek the Lord. We've got to apply the Word of God. I mentioned that last Sunday. If we don't apply the Word of God, we're never going to change. But if we will apply the Word of God to our life and seek the Lord, I'm going to give you some time to do that in a little while. If you're not right with God, you can get right with God. You can ask Him for His forgiveness. If you are part of the bride, you can say, Lord, give us Give us more people. And there's, I know that your heart is big. Give us more people. Help us as the church. Help me as an individual. Help us to reach others. And Lord, let me look forward to your coming. Let me look forward to that eternal life. Let us watch for it. Help me to watch for it, because we all get distracted. Today's a day of refocus. So I'm going to give you some time to do that a little bit. Verse 18. And I solemnly declare to everyone who hears the words of prophecy written in this book, if anyone adds anything to what is written here, God will add to that person the plague described in this book. Yikes. Not interested, right? So we're going to stay as tight as we can to this, not adding to it or not taking away. I don't have an extra pen, and I don't have an eraser. We're just simply trying to stay tight, stay close to the Word of God. This is a stern warning and caution to stay true, to stay close to the words of the Lord. Verse 19, he continues, and if anyone removes any of the words from this book of prophecy, God will remove that person's share in the tree of life and in the holy city that are described in this book. Yikes. Not interested in any of that. Let's look at verse 20 as we conclude. Then we can come on up. He who is the faithful witness to all these things says, yes, I'm coming soon.
Amen.
How many times is that now? It's the third time in chapter 22 that he said, I'm coming. I'm coming. Now, Peter tells us that God is not slow in keeping his promise that he's coming back, as some think. He's being patient so that more people can find truth. So let's be the kind of people that will be helpful in assisting others to find the truth. He who is the faithful witness to all these things says, yes, I'm coming soon. He says, amen. And here it is. Come, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Is that our heart's desire? Is to know him and to be with him forever?
Yes.
Are we still looking for something here on this earth? Because I promise you that nothing that you're able to find will satisfy you like him.
That's right.
Nothing. It wasn't made to satisfy you. Only he can satisfy you forever.
Yes.
So let us say, come, Lord Jesus. This morning, I'm opening up these altars and I'm inviting you. I'm inviting all to seek the Lord. To seek him. Maybe there's something in your life that you need to get, that you need to give to him. Maybe you're just saying, Lord, thank you for this. I needed to refocus, and I want to focus on you. Lord, I want to look forward to eternity. Lord, help me to be a witness. Help me to help other people to come to know you. You know, I remember hearing an evangelist say years ago, if you're on an airplane and the pilot comes over the intercom and says, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry to inform you that we've lost both of our engines and there it is certain that we're going to crash. The minister asked the question, at that moment, what are you going to do? Do you need to repent or can you just start right in with praise? If you have to repent, then you're not living the way you should. But if you can begin to praise in that moment, say, Lord, I'm ready. I've made myself ready. I've washed my robes in the blood of the Lamb. I've made myself ready. Then you're really ready to go to heaven. If not, then I invite you to the front. And even if you are ready, I invite you to the front. Come, let's seek the Lord. Come, let's seek him. Let's worship. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come, let's seek the Lord with me. Praise. Praise.
Amen.